child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." If you weren't with us last Sunday, we're using John 3:16 as our theme verse for our Advent sermon series this year, and that verse correlates very well with what we just read here from Luke chapter 2, both passages proclaiming the message that God has given us his Son, Jesus Christ. So let's recap for a moment. We looked at the first four words only of John 3:16 last week, "For God so loved," and I actually had us pause after the first two words, "for God," and I reminded you that the Bible tells us about God. Of course, we know that we believe that here, but I suggested to you that if a person were to go on a search for a communication from God to human beings beyond the evidence that we see just in the natural world, it is more than reasonable for us to believe that the Bible is it. Now, if you want those reasons, you'll have to go back and listen to the sermon on the website that I gave there. But you guys, this is it. Amen. This is it. This book is the communication of God to humanity. It is the tool he has used. It's the record of God breaking into human history, giving people experiences of him, and then they wrote it down for us to learn from and to read. So the first two words of John 3:16, "for God," the Bible tells us about God. It can be argued that John 3:16 is the most important verse in the entire Bible. And if the Bible is the communication from God to humanity, then that makes this a very crucial verse to study and to understand. We said last week that in the first four words of John 3:16, we learned something vitally important about who this God is. The first four words, "For God so loved." He loves you. He loves me. It's clear from this book, the Bible, that each person is loved by God. Each person is valued. And that actually becomes the theme for this week's sermon, because we take on the next two words in John 3:16 today. Who did God so love? God so loved the world. The book of Revelation is about the end times. It describes the end of the era in which we live in right now and the beginning of a new heaven and a new earth. And listen to this description from Revelation chapter 7 on what the followers of Jesus will look like during that time. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." God loves every nation, every tribe, all people. God so loves the world. The Christmas story in Luke chapter 2 that we just read describes the birth of Jesus Christ. And quickly, we see in that story that this Jesus had a mission to accomplish. The baby was going to grow and one day be called Lord, Messiah, the Anointed One. He was coming as King. It says that he was coming as Savior and that he was bringing with him peace. Jesus had a mission to accomplish. Our theme verse, John 3:16, describes that mission as well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So these are our clues to what that mission was for Jesus. If he was coming to be Savior, that means he was coming to people who need saving. If he was coming so that people would not perish but have everlasting life, that means he was coming to people who are perishing and who need everlasting life because they don't have it. That's an important mission. And who are these people that need saving? It's the world, isn't it? It's all of us. We know that we're in trouble, don't we? We're stuck in sin. We suffer. We don't understand why we have to die. We believe there has to be something more. I want to be saved. I want eternal life. I want peace. And this is the good news of the Bible, that these things are available to all men and women. They're available through a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is Messiah, peace giver, Lord, King, Savior. Jesus said it himself, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus was a man on a mission. And before he ascended to heaven, he passed that mission on to you and to me, his followers, to bring the good news of hope and love through Jesus Christ to all humankind. We are to carry it forward. You know, the Bible is God's communication to humankind, but it does nothing when it's sitting on the shelf, unread. And it does not reach all humankind unless we pick it up and we bring it to the people who have not been exposed to it. We carry Jesus' mission forward. Now, Christianity has a long tradition of missions work. And there have been many missionaries who have fulfilled God's call to take the gospel into all the world. But make no mistake about it, we are all missionaries, Christ followers. We are all called by God to be men and women on a mission. In essence, the same mission that Jesus came to accomplish. And there's nothing better to involve your life in than this. Taking God's message of salvation and grace and love and getting it into the lives of people who have not yet embraced it. It needs to happen here in Madison. It needs to happen in Washington, D.C., where we're going to take our mission trip this next summer. It needs to happen in the Dominican Republic, where Lowell and his team brought it here last month. It needs to happen in Nepal. Krista Rinkins is going to come and give us a report about her recent work there for Christ next week. It needs to happen in South America, in Asia, in Europe, in Africa. It needs to happen all over the world. God so loved the world. So I did something recently. I'm not quite sure it was correct protocol. I sent an email to a man named Ivan Veldhuizen, who is the who serves Converge Worldwide, the church conference that we're a part of, as the executive director of international ministries. In other words, he's the head honcho over the entire mission program and in charge of all the missionaries. I got to thinking that maybe I should have started with someone who was under him, but too late. I went straight to the top and asked him if he would be willing to be interviewed for us this morning for our service by me. And he graciously accepted, and we spent some time just a couple days ago chatting, and I recorded that interview for you. I thought it would be interesting in a sermon on God's love for the world to talk to someone who has his finger on the pulse of these global efforts to bring Jesus to people. So I'm going to play that video for you now. I just held up my video camera on our Skype conversation, and it seemed to work out okay. Those of you who have used Skype know that every once in a while it freezes up, and it does it here too, but it's only like 8 seconds. Just hang with it when that happens, and he comes back right away. So let's play that video now. This is Ivan Veldhuizen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. And I will have introduced who you are a little bit by this point in the service. But Ivan, why don't you start out with telling us a little bit about yourself and your family and maybe your career path.
Yes. Yeah. I'm married to Susan, and we have three children, all grown children. One of them lives in Minnesota and is married. They work at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota in Rochester. And we have two sons, and 25 and 20. And God's really blessed us. They're all walking with the Lord. We're very grateful for that. I've been a pastor for 28 years. All of those years in the pastorate were in Minnesota. Yeah. So I'm homegrown in Minnesota.
All right.
And 3 years ago, just a total surprise, us, we were called to come to Orlando and lead the Converge Missions Department. And it's just been a great experience in doing that. While I was a pastor, I also worked for the Billy Graham Association for 5 years as a field associate and worked in 24 different countries around the world carrying Dr. Graham's vision for those countries. And that was great preparation for this role, of course, too.
Yeah, okay. All right, and so Church Ivan's already told me he just desperately misses 15-degree weather, and he's really bummed to be hanging out with Mickey Mouse all the time. And yeah, all
right. Yeah, that's right. Mickey Mouse is our neighbor.
Yeah, that's my daughter would be amazed. Yeah. All right, so tell us a little bit then about what you're doing for Converge Worldwide.
Yeah, you know, I lead a team of 12 people. They don't all live in Orlando, but 12 people across the U.S. About half of our team is right here in Orlando. And we lead our 150-plus missionaries around the world. And my role is to keep our team on target and to help us all get better at what we're doing all the time, to stay on the cutting edge of missiology and what God's doing in the world, and to make sure that we do that really well for the glory of God. Yeah. I don't know if I have a typical day. I have maybe more often a typical week, and it involves conversation with missionaries, just to listen to them, to encourage them, to see how we can help them become more effective in what they're doing. Hmm. In a typical week, I will be a part of forming partnerships in other parts of the world and leveraging partnerships so that we can get better and better at what we do and reaching more people with the gospel.
Yeah.
And then another part of my role is really to inform and challenge and engage Converge churches into global ministry all around the world.
Yeah.
So those are some of the primary things I do. So.
Yeah, okay. Excellent, yeah. Excellent. All right, so you were a pastor for a long time, and now this shift into missions focus, although you were doing some with Billy Graham, sounds like, too. But what is it about missions that motivates you and gets you excited?
Yeah, you know, Eric, I've always had such a passion for lost people. And, of course, missions is all about lost people, and it's about getting the gospel to people who have never heard it.
Yeah.
And around the world, there are still over 6,000 unreached people groups. And one of the things we asked on my team when I got here was, how can we have a significant part in accomplishing the Great Commission, even though we're a relatively small missions entity? Hmm. And we prayed and sought the Lord for that, and we realize that if we really focus on helping to reach those unreached people groups, we can be a part of hastening Christ's return,
yeah.
Really being a part of reaching those unreached people groups. That gets me really excited, and we've got so many really wonderful things going on that way right now.
Yeah, that is motivating, yes.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of the work getting into some of those unreached groups?
In fact, we have an intimate partnership with an organization called TTI, or the Timothy Initiative.
Right.
And in fact, the founder of the Timothy Initiative has come onto my team now as our director of global church multiplication. In just the last 15 months, we are now engaged with 50 unreached people groups that Converge has never been engaged with before.
Wow.
And in 2014, this past year, we have been a part of helping to start 2,000-plus house churches from within Pakistan, across northern India, the greatest concentration of unreached people groups in the world, into Nepal and Bhutan.
Okay.
And this coming year, we will be continuing work in those areas and planting even more churches, but we're also going to be moving into Myanmar, and Bangladesh in planting churches among unreached people groups.
Okay.
As well.
So it starts out kind of as a little house church type of thing.
That is correct. And the way we do that is we raise up national leaders. We train national leaders, and they raise up leaders and pastors and train them. We give them the systems and the tools and the curriculum, and it's just amazing what God's doing with that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So I mentioned to you that for our Advent series this year at Christmas, we're focusing on John 3:16. So God so loved the world, he gave us his son, right? And
yes.
So this week, we're focusing on God so loved the world, and thus our discussion with you. But how have you, in your time doing missions, how have you seen God's love for the world playing out and impacting people?
You know, I think I'm always amazed when I see how God draws lost people to himself. And what I have seen in the 3 years I've been in this role is that when we bring the gospel to people who don't know Christ, and when our missionaries live out this calling to be the presence of Jesus in these places, people are drawn to that. God's grace is so powerful. And to see the transformation in people's lives is just astounding. I just never tire of that, and it always reminds me of how much God loves people and broken people and people we don't even think of and people the world despises or just thinks of as nothing. God loves them. You know, just a few weeks ago, I was in a slum in northern India, and nobody ever goes to this place, but one of the little churches we planted up there now planted a little church in this slum. And I went there and just loved on these people and the children. And then I went to this little church building they built. It was built out of sticks and grass. And they had a little podium in the front, and it said on the podium in very simple English letters, "The Kingdom of Heaven."
Hmm.
And it reminded me that no matter how hopeless and impoverished people are in the world, or how forgotten, or how small and meaningless they may feel, when we bring Jesus to these people, we bring the kingdom of heaven to where they are. And all of a sudden, they have a life like they never imagined possible.
All right.
Even though their circumstances don't change. And that reminds me always of how much God loves the world.
Yeah. So God's love getting into people's hearts and changing them, and that's true whether you're in Madison or the Twin Cities or a small hut and a slum on the other side of the world.
So true. Yeah. And, you know, that's what got me excited as a local church pastor also for the 28 years I did that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think you've touched on some of this already, but I was going to ask, what's new in missions work?
Yeah, and let me just add to what I've already said. I would say the ripe fields that are in different places in the world, and Asia is one of those, you know, in the places we're planting churches. That's why we're doing that there, because Jesus said, "Look unto the fields, they are ripe or ready for harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest." And we know that's heavy on God's heart. And yet it's something new that's happening in the world. There are fields so ripe and so ready for harvest. And it's very exciting that we and Converge get to be a part of helping to bring in that harvest in mass numbers.
Wow.
So that's one of the new things, I would say.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, hey, I'm assuming that most of us at Calvary likely are not called to overseas missions work. But we definitely, want to be doing the mission, work in the mission field we are called to, which is here in the Madison area. But also do want to support that overseas effort. And what would you say to someone in that kind of category?
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure that I have anything real new and fresh that way.
Sure.
But I want to just encourage three things. I would say pray specifically. Whatever missionaries you support at Calvary, I would say you know, engage with those missionaries, communicate with them, know what their needs are, and pray for those needs specifically. I can't tell you how often when I talk to missionaries, they say, just pray for us. We just love churches that pray for us, and we feel the prayers, and we see God answering the prayers when we know that people are praying for us. So I'd say pray specifically. Secondly, I would say give consistently. Just be generous and give, because the missionaries cannot be doing what they're doing without the consistent and generous support of those of us who haven't been sent. And the third thing is, I would say, encourage regularly. You want to hear a missionary get excited. They talk about the churches that have been very intentional about making them feel loved and valued. And, you know, just simple things. It might be notes. It might be a care package at Christmas or in the middle of the year for no reason. But I would say encourage regularly. And you do those three things, and you'll be making a significant impact in the world.
Good. And we're part of it. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you never know when someone's sitting in your congregation who God might be putting a little itch and that might be calling to overseas missions work. And do you have any message for someone like that? Oh, did I lose you? Oh, all right, you're back.
Hey,
sorry, we lost you there for a second.
Real life, even when we're being videotaped.
I think you heard the whole question. We just froze up right at the end. So what's an answer to that one?
Yeah, I would say if you feel God tugging on your heart in any way, do not overlook it or kind of push it back. Really seek the Lord, first of all. And I would say talk to Pastor Eric. We would love to talk with you. We love to help people discern whether or not God is really leading them into missions. And by the way, we're opening lots of new pathways to engagement in missions. I just brought someone on my team who is developing brand new pathways for short-term missionary engagement. That's from 1 month to a year long. We'll find something that works for you if you want to give something a trial run. And we would love to talk and see if indeed God is leading you into a cross-cultural ministry someplace in the world.
Great. So listen to that call. All right.
Yeah.
So, Ivan, you've got a whole nation full of churches that you could be doing this with, and a whole world full of missionaries to be connecting with and leading. So we're very grateful to you for taking some time out today to meet with Calvary Madison. So thank you so much.
I just have to say thank you for the privilege. I love it, Eric, that you and your church are so interested in missions and you're supporting missions, and it's a privilege to do this with you. So I wish you the very best. Have a fantastic Christmas season, and together we can continue to make such an impact in the world to see lost people come to know Jesus.
All right. Glad.
Thank you. God bless you.
And we'll be praying for you. Glad to be on the same kingdom team with you. So,
thank you, Eric.
All right. All right. Thanks, Ivan.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So, all right, so our main mission focus is here in our community, but we also want to be part of helping that worldwide effort, don't we? And so Ivan says there are ways we can do that. We can do short-term missions. We can pray specifically for our missionaries and give consistently and encourage. Maybe you want to start doing care packages for some of our missionaries here and there. You know, we've tried to communicate to you about the three couples that we support on the mission field. A portion of our general giving goes to them every month. But if you want more information about our missionaries, how to pray better for them and so forth, please talk to me or one of the members of the mission committee. We'd be glad to get that to you. And maybe God is calling you to overseas missions. And if he is, Ivan says, don't ignore the call. We can change the world through our individual efforts to accomplish the mission that Jesus has given to us, and through our combined efforts we can change the world. So the last thing I want to talk to you about this morning is a little bit on that topic. There was a really great article in Christianity Today last winter that reported on a very thorough scientific study that had been done recently by researcher Robert Woodbury and his team about how missionaries have changed the world. Now, missionaries throughout the years have not always done things perfectly. Some of the work has not been done in the true spirit of Christ. And even some of the work that was done in the true spirit of Christ wasn't necessarily terribly culturally sensitive. I think much has been learned over the years, I understand, and that missions is done better now in general. But overall, the effort of missionaries in the last 200-plus years has accomplished incredible things. And not just in souls saved, which of course is the most important work, but in other measurable ways as well. One example, this researcher, Robert Woodbury, visited the University of Togo in West Africa, and he discovered that the library there at the university had an astoundingly small number of books. Their most recent encyclopedia was from 1977. The students there don't get textbooks. The professor just reads from the textbook in class. But when Woodbury went across the border into Ghana and went to the University of Ghana, that library was wall-to-wall books, and the situation was totally different, and he wondered why. So he researched this and believed he discovered the reason. Ghana had been colonized by Britain in the 1800s, and British missionaries there had established a whole system of schools for those people and printing presses and so forth. Togo had been colonized by France, and France did not allow missionaries and only educated a small intellectual elite, says the article. It was the work of the missionaries in Ghana, Woodbury believed, that accounted for that stark difference that he was discovering between the two countries in access to reading materials. Another example that he found, in those years of colonization in Africa, Congo was divided up between France and Belgium. Colonists on both sides in Congo had forced the African natives to go into the jungle to extract rubber for them, and if they refused, the colonists would do horrible things to them and their families. In French Congo, our researcher discovered, not a peep about this was to be found in any of the newspapers of the day. Again, no missionaries allowed on the French side. In Belgian Congo, Protestant missionaries began taking pictures of the atrocities that were being committed and publishing them in newspapers worldwide, and that led to what Woodbury called the largest international protest movement since the abolition of slavery. Things started to change. Missionaries were the difference. Missionaries want to help people learn how to read so they can read the Bible, right? But they also want them to read just so that they can read. Literacy is the number one thing to help a person to rise out of poverty. Missionaries have educated the poor. They've promoted printing. They've empowered ordinary citizens. They've brought medical help. They've worked to end drug trade. They've fought to stop abuses in government and within societies. And the study that Woodbury published in the science magazines recently came, the study came to this conclusion, and apparently it's a conclusion that is being accepted by scholars now, even scholars who are not believers. And the conclusion said this: areas where Protestant missionaries had a significant presence in the past are on average more economically developed today, with comparatively better health, lower infant mortality, lower corruption, greater literacy, higher educational attainment, especially for women, and more robust membership in non-governmental associations. Isn't that interesting? Those weren't the goals that the missionaries had when they moved to those countries. Their goal was to save souls with the gospel, and they did that, and that's the most important thing that they did. But do you know why all these other things happened along the way? It's because these missionaries showed love to their neighbors. They moved there, they saw problems, and they wanted to help. It's because they brought the love of God in tangible ways out into the world. And all of this ties directly back to the birth of Jesus Christ and to what is proclaimed in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." This mission is not about white people bringing
their religion to people of color. It's not about people trying to impose Western culture on other societies. The mission is about Christ followers of all nationalities and colors sharing the truth and goodness of God with people of all nationalities and colors who need it. It's about bringing the message that all people are important to God and that all people are loved by God and that there is a way to be saved. Jesus passed this mission of salvation and hope and peace and love onto his followers, many of whom have been faithful and have changed the world. But the task isn't done yet. We are next in line. We carry the torch. How is God calling you to be involved in the mission? Whether it is done here in this building and in this community, or in a tiny little shack in an Indian slum that has a sign on it that says the kingdom of heaven, that says the kingdom of heaven, we are called to advance and to grow that kingdom. That is our mission. And we close today by watching this video, For God So Loved the World.
There's work to do before the night, so we'll go into the world.
Let us bow in prayer. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in your sight. Lord, the message of your love for the world is what we've reflected on this morning, and I'm so grateful for that truth. I'm so grateful that you are a loving God, and as your scripture says, that you are love. Father, it's inspiring, and we want to be a part of it. We want to be part of bringing your love and salvation and hope to those who are lost within our own community, our own nation, and throughout the world. Lord, I ask that you empower us to accomplish this task and spur us on, bug us to get out and do it in the specific ways that you have for each of us here. We pray for our missionaries this morning as well, Lord, that you will grant them safety and health and effectiveness in their efforts. And then, Lord, as we prayed earlier, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.